Historima.
Connect with your history.
I was born in 1951, December of 51. At the age of 7, we went to Germany with my parents. I went to school there and grew up there. And at 17, I came back to Greece to learn Greek, planning on going back to Germany because I wanted to study medicine there. Along the way, I met my future husband, who was an engineer in the Merchant Navy, and was about to start his career on ships. My future mother-in-law thought about it a little and realized that if Evgenia left for Germany, her son wouldn't be coming to Greece to see her, which was only natural. She had heard that there were female lieutenants who had begun to sail as wireless operators. I liked the idea. And so, instead of medicine in Germany, I went to the School for Wireless Operators in Thessaloniki, the Euclid Technical School. Before the end of my first year, I was going to go to Marseille for 2 weeks at Easter, as his ship was in dry dock, the Courageous Kolokotronis. Thomas called me and said, "Why don't you bring the marriage license with you?" So I did. We got married on the Courageous Kolokotronis, on the boat. The priest was Greek, from the Greek parish of Marseille. The whole crew was there. Then I saw the bridesmaids. There was one of mixed race, and another one. I thought it really strange. Of course, later it was cleared up. Another engineer had gone to a cabaret the night before and said, "You two are coming to the ship." They were holding the candles. It was a beautiful service. There were supposed to be sugared almonds and rice, you know, the things they throw. I trod on something and it felt strange. I looked. Broad beans. I was shocked. Then the other engineer, the one who had brought the two girls from the cabaret, stood up and said, "Mrs. Evgenia, I didn't want to waste the almonds by throwing them. We can eat them on the voyage." So he had swapped them with a cook and shared out broad beans to throw at us instead. Of course, we hadn't noticed. Broad beans and rice. I came back to Greece afterwards and finished my second year. Among the 6 other women who went to school with me, none sailed. The only one to sail was me. My first trip was to Jebel Dana, in the Arab countries. I was a cadet wireless operator on the same ship as my husband, of course. I arrived at the ship with 5 cadet engineers. As soon as they saw a woman, they thought, "Oh dear." The ship was not loaded, as it was an oil tanker, a 100-ton deadweight ship. They said, "How is she going to get on board?" There was a rope ladder at the stern. This meant that almost half the ladder was just hanging in the air. They threw down a rope to me to tie myself to. Of course, I didn't accept it, and I just climbed up, because if you want to stand your ground as a woman and then you accept help, well, that just wouldn't do. But I had no problem. At the time, because they don't have them now, the wireless operator was the mouth and the ears of the ship. Our Marconi was a Filipino, really polite. He made it clear to Thomas that, "Master Thomas, it's like my sister." And that's how it truly was. We even got to the point of applying one another's nail polish. So he wasn't far wrong on that. In the morning, I went to the wireless room, helping as much as I could, basically learning, especially at first. I gradually got into the swing of things. I sent telegrams. My land colleague from Athens radio transmitted, and this is Morse code, okay? He transmitted Arab women, black women, lascivious, the lyrics of a popular song. So I jumped in and signaled, woman here, so that he wouldn't say anything and feel bad later when he learned there was a woman on board. All he could utter was, bon voyage, etc. Poor man froze. He hadn't expected that. On the wireless, we always talked among ourselves using initials. I was Echo Romeo, E-R, Evgenia Rakidze. The other guy was O-L-Y, from Olympiakos. At some point, I heard him say, tune in a little better, he said. Your voice, tune in a little. It's not coming through. I can't hear your voice clearly. I said, you can hear it fine. You're hearing a woman's voice. Say what? A woman is going to do my QSP. Fine, I said. Go do it yourself then. Most of the time, a woman on her own on a ship has to prove herself, because you can't demand respect, you have to earn it. There was once some bad weather that stopped the radar when we were near land. It was dead of night, and I climbed up the radar antenna. Now, a 100-ton deadweight tanker is about 2 football pitches long, so that antenna mast is correspondingly tall. And I climbed up the antenna. Someone obviously saw me from the engine room and ran down to my husband and said, Master Thomas, Miss Evgenia has climbed up the radar antenna. Thomas was nonplussed. Well, she must have something she needed to do. Remember, it was night. I fixed it, and we were a little safer. Bad weather was really tough, because you kept going 1 step forward and 2 steps backward. We sailed the Persian Gulf. Cochin, South India. The ship would become a submarine, literally. We were hit by 6-story-high waves. I mean, really high. They covered the gangway, everything. The ship looked like the Niagara Falls. Talk about seasickness. I remember I dislocated my jaw from the amount I vomited. My jaw just popped out. Afterwards, my husband put it back, as an engineer would. He put it back in place. Because if you know the anatomy, what the jaw is like, you can put it back easily. In other respects, time on the ship passed a little strangely. It was difficult. Officially, there was supposed to be a film shown 2x a week. And of course, we played chess and read. There was a lot of reading. After about 3 weeks, all the fresh food ran out, and whatever was left from then on was tinned. I grew various things on top of the wireless. I loved that. To be in the middle of the Pacific, to go down to the mess and have a plate of small cucumbers and tiny tomatoes, it was, From the Pacific, we made contact during the early hours, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, which meant that I didn't get to sleep anymore. Meanwhile, I put them all through by phone. I stayed up all night to connect them by phone, so they could talk with their families. 12 hours difference, so 4 o'clock there, 5 o'clock, 5 in the afternoon here. You saw the others when they were in port, fooling around all over the place. But when they were talking with their family, they were in tears, talking with their kids, etc. Flooded in tears. Of course, when we were in Cochin, boats would come up to us and we would see them around the hull. They would perform various acts so that we would throw rupees or whatever else we had. There were 4 people in 1 boat, 2 children, the wife and the husband. They had something like a hula hoop, but it wasn't that big. It was small. He put 1 child in, and he put the other child in, and he put his wife in. I mean, how many? Because we couldn't see any room for him to fit in. But he did. How did he fit in? I saw how he squeezed into the bodies of his children and his wife so that he could get in. I mean, what else will people do for you to throw money? What poverty there was then. In another boat, there was a man on his own. He had some frogs in a bucket. In another bucket, he must have had a water snake. He grabbed the bucket of water. He drank the water and swallowed one frog, then another, and then a third frog. I have no idea how many frogs he swallowed. Finally, he took the snake and swallowed that too. It really wiped the smile off my face. And in Bangkok, there were various girls coming on board for a plate of rice. They allowed them onto the ship. It was hard to understand, at least for me. And then there was the voyage to Lagos. Lagos is another story. We were in the harbour. In front of us was a smaller German tanker. I got to know the wireless operator there. Her name was Sophia. She was barely a metre and a half tall, if that, but she was great. A captain wanted to thank us and told us that there was going to be a dinner in our honour. On ships, a dinner means a spit roast and food. I mean, what else can you do? He sent a speedboat to pick us up. Sophia was up front, we were at the back. We got there fine. We sat, we ate, we drank. Around 11, 12 o'clock, we said, OK, we should be getting back. Someone came over, but the captain saw a look in his eyes and didn't like it and said, I'll take them. I'll come with you. We hadn't noticed a thing. In the harbour, there at Lagos, there are lots of reeds. At some point, while I was talking with Sophia, we saw the captain draw his pistol and say, get back on course now or I will kill you. We just froze. He had been steering us somewhere else. He had been planning something. He was high. We saw that right away. Anyway, we got back with a pistol still in the captain's hand. When we reached Fiji, the men there wore skirts, wingtip shoes, three-quarter length socks, and James Bond briefcases. Completely unbelievable. The sunsets there were incredible. Unbelievably beautiful. And palm trees. We decided it was time to have children. On ships, every port does not bring a longing, as the song says, but every port does bring a vaccination. Whether it's Lagos with malaria, cholera every 6 months, rain or shine, smallpox, yellow fever, anything you can think of, we had it. And we decided to come back and start a family and children, etc. In fact, I waited 2 years. I thought I needed to detox from the last vaccinations I had had. I didn't dare get pregnant. Later, I felt it was okay and, well, the rest is history. Today, I have 4 children and everything is fine.
Historima, connect with your history.
A collaboration between Air2Echo and Historima.org. Historima is supported by a founding grant from the Stavros Niarchos Foundation.